Very good evening to you all, brothers and sisters in Christ. So we thank our Lord for giving yet another opportunity to study His wonderful words of life. So today we are going to study a parable that was spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ. We know very well that Jesus spoke many parables, and without a parable, He never spoke anything He spoke. And generally, Jesus, after speaking this parable to everybody, He usually explained the clear meaning of the parable, particularly to the disciples. So today, we are going to study one parable that is mentioned in the book of Luke. So it's in Luke 15 chapter, verse 8 and 9. Can somebody read Luke 15 chapter, verse 8 and 9? Can somebody? Ramesh sir, can you read?
Okay, brother. Either what a woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it, and when she hath found it, she collect her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost.
Very good, sir. Thank you. So here Jesus spoke a parable where He said, the woman having 10 pieces of silver, you see, and if she loses one piece, does she not light a candle and completely sweep the house and seek it diligently until she finds it? And after she has found it, you see, she calls all her friends and neighbors and tells to rejoice with her because she has found the lost coin. Then just imagine, you see, if these things literally happen, you see, practically does it happen? You see, because 10 silver coins, you see, were there. And this woman lost one of the 10 silver coins, you see. And as she lost it, she became so tensed that she made her house upside down, it seems. She began to lit the candle, you see. And searched the entire house until she found the lost coin. And she began to sweep also, you see, because she could not find it. She began to sweep her house, make it clean until she got the coin. Once she got the coin, you know, she immediately rejoiced. She was so happy that she found the lost coin. Imagine, dear brethren, you see, one coin. Imagine if we have a 10 coins with us. If you lose one coin, will you do the same thing? Just because you search one coin, will you make the house upside down, clean everything, light a candle and search it? The cost of the candle itself is way more than the silver coin. But here, you see, that woman, you see, was so careful and so much worried about the lost coin. But as soon as she found it, she not only rejoiced, but called all our friends and neighbors. Imagine, if you lose one coin, and if you search that coin, and after getting that coin, if you go and tell this one to all our friends and all our neighbors, what will they do? They will really laugh at us and say, what a joke. You see? Why is so much serious about a coin that is lost, you see? And as soon as he's got, he's went and told everybody, you see? So, nobody would really take it in a serious way. Everybody will, they won't rejoice with us. Though we might be rejoicing, you see? And they will think he's really a fool, you see? Then what is the meaning of this one? You see? What Jesus spoke here is a parable, you see. And Jesus, through this parable, actually was trying to teach some important lessons to the church. What are the lessons? Let us read Matthew 13, chapter 34 and 35. Okay. Munna Sita, very good that you joined today. Are you able to read the Bible? Can you read Matthew 13, chapter 34 and 35?
All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parable, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parable, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world.
Jesus spoke in parables, and he tells what is the purpose of the parable and what is there actually in the parable. He says, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So Jesus actually was speaking so many secret things which were hidden from the foundation of the world. This one he brought it light to his disciples. Hence, in Matthew 13 chapter, you see, in the same chapter, Jesus tells, who can understand this parable? Let us read, Munastra, please read Matthew 13 chapter, verse 11, 10 and 11, verse 10 and 11.
Matthew 13, which verse, brother?
10 and 11, sister.
And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parable? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given.
The mystery of the kingdom of heaven. So in this parable, the thing that was kept secret from the foundation of the world was revealed. That means about what? About the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So something related to the heavenly salvation, something related to the church must be in this parable. So what is the meaning of this parable? Now we'll try to decode the meaning of this parable. You see, whenever Jesus spoke something, he spoke actually related to some natural things that were usually happening in Israel. So even this parable also, it actually is speaking about a custom which actually happened in Israel. You see, we have seen the parable of the wheat and tares. You see, Jesus saw the wheat field and took a lesson from it and spoke the parable of the wheat and tares. You see, so similarly, you see, the parable of 10 silver coins, Jesus was actually speaking about the custom of marriage in Israel. You see, in Israel, the custom of marriage was that they used to have, you see, engagement. And after nearly 1 year of engagement, they used to have a marriage ceremony. So in that 1 year time, it was given for the bride and bridegroom to understand each other and love each other, you see, so they may develop that affection upon each other. And after 1 year itself, you see, the marriage was actually taking place. You see, so in this time, if there is any, you see, a problem, they could be able to understand each other. You see, hence, this 1 year period was like a testing period to prove, to check if really the bride, you see, really loves the bridegroom. You see, hence what they used to do during those period is that as a token of, you see, the love, the bride, groom side, used to give some, you see, things for the bride to maintain it very diligently. Like, for example, we studied in the church class about Psalms 45, where a bride was given a white robe and she was decorated completely with, you see, work of a needle and decorated with a golden thread. So That was actually the custom in Israel. Just to give a plain clothes, white robe, you see. And the bridegroom had to decorate it with, you see, a golden embroidery work she has to do in that 1 year period. So her own wedding dress, she has to stitch it of herself. So after 1 year, the bridegroom comes and sees that the dress is very grandly decorated, nicely decorated and embroidered with good needlework and all. That was a sign that the bride really loved the bridegroom. If it was not decorated, it was least decorated. That was a sign to identify that the bride did not love the bridegroom. So similarly, you see, even nowadays we have the custom in so many places. As a token of engagement, they put a finger ring, they give earring or bangles or something like that. You see, and if the bride removes the finger ring, engagement ring, that means she has cancelled the engagement. Imagine if somebody has cancelled that engagement, engaged girl, will somebody marry her? No, definitely not. Nobody would definitely come to marry her because everybody will put a question, why she is cancelled, what happened, some problem is that's the reason they will cancel it. All the speculations will come. So similarly, even in this incident also, you see, it is very, very important. Therefore, you see, we also have studied the parable of the 10 virgins. You see, where the 10 virgins actually went to meet Jesus Christ. So virgins, you see, so they were getting prepared for the marriage. So here in this parable, Jesus was speaking about 10 coins. So what is 10 coins that the bride used to receive from the bridegroom means, along with our bride dress, the bridegroom is to give 10 silver coins. And it was upon a string which they had to place upon their head during the day of the marriage. You see, it was it can be placed like medals and it could be removed also. And it was the duty of the bride to keep these coins very carefully. You see, and if she loses one of the coins, then that means this was the very rarest of the rarest cases that a marriage would happen. And there's a very severe danger that the marriage would get cancelled. So our marriage is to depend upon these coins. You know, if somebody's marriage is cancelled, you know, what does it mean? It means almost like spoiling her life. It was actually a matter of life and death. Actually a matter of life and death. So that woman had to be very, very careful. Therefore, as soon as that woman, you see, lost her coin, what did she do? She turned the house upside down. Why? Because soon the news would go to the bridegroom. They would cancel the marriage. Then she began to search it. As soon as she got, she went and informed first to her friends. Why friends? Because friends should be the first one to give the negative report whether the bride has lost the coin or not. And similarly, she also called all her neighbors because who knows which neighbor is going to commit a negative thing. So once if she informs, that was a clear sign that you see, that she has maintained correctly all the coins. Okay. Now what is the meaning of this one? We know it very well. You said who is the bride and who is the bridegroom. Isn't it? We know it very clearly from the scriptures. Who is the bride? Who is the bridegroom? Who can tell? Who is the bride? Everybody are there. Anil brother.
Church.
Church. Who is the bridegroom?
Jesus Christ.
Very good. Read 2 Corinthians 11:2. Sunita sister, can you read 2 Corinthians 11:2?
For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ.
That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. I have espoused you to one husband, engaged you to one husband. So the church now is engaged to Jesus Christ. So there is a gap between engagement and actual marriage. When will the actual marriage happen? Actual marriage will happen after the completion of the church. When Jesus comes, the church will be complete and the church will be gathered together with Jesus. That is the time that the marriage happens. Read Revelation 19:7. Revelation 19:7, Sunita Ashtar. Revelation 19:7.
Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready.
The marriage of the Lamb is come. The wife hath made herself ready. She is readily decorated with the gown. The church has to be neatly decorated with Christ likeness, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You see, she has to have this 10 silver coins. What are these 10 silver coins? What is the meaning of silver in the Bible? You see, silver in the Bible means truth. Read Psalms 12:6. Joel brother, can you read Psalms 12:6?
The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth purified 7 times.
The word of God is pure. It is like a silver that is tried in the furnace of the earth. 7 times purified. So God's words is the silver. You see. Then 10 silver coins means what? You see. 10 important truths in the Bible. There are 10 important doctrines which a Christian, if he wants to be the bride of Jesus, he has to always have it in his head, in his mind, in his heart. What is that one? John 17:17. Anil brother, please read John 17:17, brother.
Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Yes. Sanctify, purify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So God's word is truth. Now, there are 10 important doctrines at the first advent of Jesus. But what happened? Slowly, as all the apostles slept, you see, they all died. What happened? The church lost a very important coin. Very, very important doctrine in the Bible was lost, because of which all the other coins were useless. See, if she might be having 9 coins, but without one coin, she won't be getting married. All the coins were interrelated and very important. So, when did the church lose this coin? It was in the Dark Ages. You see, we are studying about the period of Antichrist. In the Antichrist period, this coin was lost. Okay, what happened there? The woman searched, cleaned her house, completely made it upside down. House means what? Household of faith. House means house of God. The church. She, the church has lost it. So, she began to search it. Where did she search it? Did she search it in any temple or some other place? No, she searched it in the same house where it was lost, inside the church. You see, and that happened during the Reformation. She swept the house. Reformation, what happened? All the major wrong doctrines which are taught by the great Antichrist, the Roman Catholic system, was cleansed slowly. How? Like, not only sweeping, you see, lighting the candle. Now, what is the meaning of candle in the Bible? Candle means God's words. Read Psalms 119:5. Amar brother, can you read Psalms 119:5? Psalms 119:5. Amar brother, you there?
Yes, brother.
Psalms 119:5.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Lamp, light unto my path. So the church began to diligently search from the Bible. So when they began to search, they got the lost coin. As soon as they got it, what did the woman do? She rejoiced. Called her friends, told her also to rejoice with her, and called the neighbors also. So this truth is very, very important. So let us see which are these 10 silver coins and which was the one truth that was lost. Okay, the 10 silver coins are 10 important truths. So the first important coin, you see, is the creation of God. You see, the creation of God, and that is the primary important coin. See, how was man created? Man was created in the image of God, in his own likeness, and God had given him the dominion of everything. So man, how was he created? If you see, he was created from the dust of the ground in the image of God. But today, what does the scientist believe? Scientists believe that, you see, man came from the evolution. He came from, you see, amoeba, a cell, and slowly developed into, you see, monkey, chimpanzee, gorilla. Now, man has come to perfection. So, he has come from Stone Age to Iron Age and to the, you see, computer age. This is what the scientists believe. You see, so man has been developing, you see, evolving, they say, from where? From nothing to computer because of Darwin's theory. But this question, Darwin also cannot understand and cannot answer. What is the question is, see, if man never came from an ape, why doesn't the ape develop into be a man? Why today man is coming from man? Man could have evolved even today from an ape, no? Why man is not getting developed further? This question, a scientist doesn't have any answer. You see, because they say there is a missing link. When there is a link, when there is, first of all, there is no link, how can you miss it? There is no link at all. You see, they tell that man is developing. You see, compared to the days of creation, he was nothing. He was created as a dumber. And now only he is developing. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says that man was created in the likeness of God, in the image of God. Read Genesis 1. Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26. Joel brother.
And God said, let us make men in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over.
See, what does he say? Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. That means he, God created man perfectly. No, man was created imperfectly, without any intelligence, like a dumma. You see, no. Early man, when he was created, he was perfect, holy, sinless. He was very, very wise. He was very intelligent. What did Adam do in Garden of Eden? Who can tell me? What was the work that God gave to God, Adam in Garden of Eden? You're all there. Tell me, what was the work which Adam did in Garden of Eden? Nobody knows, sir. Nobody knows, sir. Adam was placed in the Garden of Eden, you see, to do farming. So he was the one who was actually taking care of the Garden of Eden. Read Genesis 2:15, brother. Your brother, read Genesis 2:15.
And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it.
To dress it and keep it. That means Adam would definitely be a wise man. It would be so neat and so clean. Whatever beautiful park we have seen today, that is nothing before Garden of Eden. And what does he do in Garden of Eden? He named all the animals intelligently. You see, read it, verse 19, brother. Read verse 20. 20.
19 and 20?
Only 20 read.
Only 20?
First chapter, no brother, second chapter, only verse 20.
Okay. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the ear and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an help meet for
Adam
him.
Gave name for all the animals, birds, that means any, you see, uneducated or what is illiterate person can give names to all animals. He is a very wise person. And moreover, during those days, the people were very, very, you see, wise. You know, Cain's brothers, Tubal, Cain's sons and generation of Cain, Tubal Cain, Jubal Cain. What were they doing? They were inventor of all the music equipments. You see, all the great music equipments were given by you. Tubal Cain, Jubal Cain. Okay? And Noah, what did he build? He built an ark 150 feet. Imagine 150 feet means what? Much lengthier than a Boeing jumbo jet, isn't it? Very huge. This one he had, you see, created. You see, built it. Okay. Now, when Noah built the ark, why did not the water enter the ark? Why water did not enter the ark? Who can tell me? Anirudh, tell me, why did not the water enter the ark when Noah had built it? Anirudh,
yes, once again, brother.
When Noah built the ark, the flood came. But the water did not enter the ark. Why?
Ark. Flood.
Correct now, see, he built a boat, correct now, a ship.
Yes.
Why did not go inside the ship? Why? What did Noah use to prevent the water from entering the ark? Okay, any other
okay.
Tell me.
No, I don't know, brother.
I don't know, okay. Anybody else?
Yeah. I think God himself forced that door. Ark door. Yeah. And all the instruction is given by the God.
Okay. So what material did he use? Let us read Genesis 6. Good attempt. Genesis 6:14, brother. Genesis 6:14. Anil Buddha, read. Genesis 6:14.
Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch.
Pitch. What do you mean by pitch? You know, what is the pitch? Today, what did they put for the road? What did they put for the road?
Black.
Correct. What was that?
I forgot. Black.
Tar.
Yes, black.
For construction of road, they put tar now. Black color.
Yes.
That is what Noah used there. See, we think that this star was invented recently. It was there in the first world itself. See, Noah has used it to pitch the ark. That is the reason even a drop of water did not enter the ark. Imagine, it came from monkey. Evolution. It's not evolution. They were all very smart. But today, man has fallen and degraded into sin, that he has become more corrupt than the original he was created. And you see, pyramid, who built it? You see, Job or Melchizedek. How is the pyramid? Even with modern equipments, nobody can duplicately build a pyramid at all. Even with hi-fi technology and engineering, you can't duplicate it. Such is the wisdom of man who was created. So man was originally created, wonderful. You see, so this evolution theory, you see, is wrong as per the Bible. So the creation of man is very, very important coin. Okay, now, which is the next coin? You see, the second coin is related to the first coin, death. What is the wages of sin? You see, the wages of sin is death. What did God tell to Adam? God told Adam, you see, you shall not eat the fruit thereof. In the day you eat the fruit thereof, you shall surely die. But what did Satan tell? You shall surely not die. You see, so since then, he's been very busy deceiving the entire mankind, saying that you are not actually dead. After your death, you're there, here, and all those things and all. You see, and this death passed upon everybody, and everybody were condemned to death in Adam. Romans 5:12. Munal Sister, can you read Romans 5:12?
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world. It's because only one man the sin came into the world, and God knew that all persons would sin because of lack of experience. Hence, God condemned everybody to death in Adam. So, everybody are dying in Adam. The wages of sin is death. Small children that die as soon as they die. You see, why? The mother, the parents put the question to God. The Bible says they are all condemned to death in Adam. That's the reason David said in Psalms 51:5, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Everybody, even before they're born with a death penalty. You see, death is a penalty. Not that after death, what will happen? Your soul will come out. Your soul will roam here and there. It will go to hell, heaven. No. If that was the case, God would have clearly told. He has told so many things clearly. Why fear to tell about these things? You see, the Bible clearly says the wages of sin is death. You see, the serpent was the one, Satan was the one who told the lie. First time God of illusion, surely not die. So, since then, he's busy deceiving everybody to prove that death is not death at all. So, man doesn't die at all. So as soon as he dies, he goes to, you see, hell or heaven. His soul is immortal. You see, it will go to Paramatma and be with God. You see, all these concepts. This is all the great deception of the devil. So the second coin is the penalty, the death. Okay. See, the third coin. What is the third coin? The third coin, you see, Devudran, it is the ransom. The thing that is related to the second coin. It is because of death was the penalty. Jesus had to come and die for us on the cross to redeem us from the death. You see, and Jesus gave a ransom for all. And because of that one, there is a beautiful opportunity that all that are in the graves shall come back to life in God's kingdom. Read John 5:28. Buddha Sutra, can you read John 5:28?
Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice.
You see, all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and come forth. You see, the time is coming. That is the reason Jesus gave a ransom for all. We should read the subject about ransom, 1 Timothy 2 chapter 3 to 6. The Greek word for ransom is antilutron. and Trilithram is what? Corresponding price. So Jesus has paid the corresponding price for Adam. He did not pay for each and every individual person. Adam was the one who sinned. So Jesus, if he redeems Adam, through Adam, the entire generation will be redeemed. So Jesus is not only a savior for Christians, he is a savior for the entire mankind. When Jesus died, there were no Christians at all. He died for mankind. So through the death of Jesus, all mankind shall be saved. You see, so see the coins, they're all interlinked. As the woman put the coins on a string, everyone next to each other. So similarly, what is there? The creation is interlinked to the penalty. Penalty is interlinked to the redemption. That means the ransom. So everything is interlinked. Now the fourth point is justification. Justification by faith. So as we were all sinners, we had no standing before God. But because of the death of Jesus and because believing in the blood of Jesus, we can now approach God and stand in front of Him, you see, as a sinless person. It is only of His grace. Romans 1:17. Romans, sister, can you read Romans 1:17?
For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
The just shall live by faith. You see, not by any deeds to please the Lord. No, it is only by faith. You see, therefore, this one was attained by faith. You see, we don't really become perfect before God's sight. But believing in Jesus, God considers us that we are sinners no more. You see, it is not justified because of confession of our sins. We are not justified by something of the deeds which we do to please the Lord. It is only of His mercy that God has justified us. See, all our droves were as filthy rags. We had no standing before God. But God has clothed us with the robe of righteousness. You know, actually, the Pope had removed this one totally. You see, they claim that all your sins should be confessed to the Father. You should pay so much of offering, take indulgences. Then so your soul should be redeemed. But Martin Luther was the one who found this coin and totally declared that the teachings of, you see, the great Roman Catholic system were wrong. So Martin Luther was a morning star, the father of Reformation, who brought this thing to light. Okay, the fourth one over. The fifth one is just sanctification. You see, fourth one is justification. Okay, receiving forgiveness for our sins. Now, after receiving the forgiveness of sins, you see, what a person should do is consecrate himself. That means immerse himself in proper water baptism in Christ. You see, not taking baptism for the forgiveness of sins. No, baptism is not for the forgiveness of sins at all. We will seek another one in the coming days. Baptism means consecrating to the Lord. Baptism means offering our bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord. Romans 12:1. Sunita, sir, can you read Romans 12:1?
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
You see, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Then only the person becomes the follower of Jesus. You see, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is a reasonable service given. That is the covenant which man makes with God. Not God makes with man. You see, God calls man to make this covenant, but we need to make this covenant with God. You see, read Psalms 50 verse 5. Anil brother, read Psalms 50 verse 5.
Gather and send together unto me those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
Gather my saints. These are the true church. Those who made a covenant with God by how? By sacrifice, offering their bodies as a living sacrifice. You see, with this idea, you see, the baptism has to be taken properly. That is the correct immersion. You see, therefore, then we should read about the church. You see, in that what you see now? Plain R, plain N, you see, and plain M. You see, the entire mankind, you see, are now on plane, are sinful plane. By believing in Jesus, man becomes justified in God's sight. But that is not sufficient. Be a good believer. We need to be the followers of Christ. Followers of Christ means Jesus immersed himself properly in water baptism. Similarly, we also need to immerse ourselves into the death of Christ. Okay. Now, this is, you see, the fifth coin, which is the sixth coin. The sixth coin is election. You see, election what? Election means, you see, a person is selected even before he is born. Some people believe that even before we are born, we are chosen from the foundation of the world. You see, and some people also believe that the lakh and 44,000 mentioned in Revelation 7 chapter, 14 chapter, they're all chosen before the foundation of the world. So there is no need for them to do anything. You see, what did Jesus say? Read Matthew 22:14, brother. Matthew 22:14. Joel, brother, can you read Matthew 22:14?
For many are called, but few are chosen.
See, many are called, few are chosen. Chosen means what? There are many people, many are called, few are chosen to go to heaven. No, no. Not chosen to go to heaven. God has chosen us in Christ to have certain bit of qualifications. Not that you just qualified to go to heaven just like that. Then why did the Bible say that you should work out your salvation? Qualifications of the faithful church. This is chosen before the foundation of the world. Read Ephesians 1:14 also, brother. Ephesians 1:14.
According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
We should be, however, we should be holy, without blame, in love. This character is prefixed even before the selection of the individual. So the church is not called individually, not selected or fixed individually, but the qualification of the church is fixed. Now, what is the real qualification to be of the faithful class? To be with Christ. You know what is that one? That is image of Christ. That is the reason God has called us to grow into the Xerox copies of our Lord. Romans 8:29, brother. Joy, brother, please read Romans 8:29 also.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
You see, whom did he predestinate? He conformed them to the image of his son. Xerox copies of Jesus. This is the reason God has selected the church. You see, to reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Okay. That was the sixth coin. Nobody is selected from the birth. Okay, now seventh coin. The seventh coin was about the truth about our God. Now, how is our God? How many gods do we have? Who can tell me? How many gods do we have? One, two, or three? Or three in one?
Only one.
Only one God. You see, there's only one God. And one mediator between man and God. That is man, Christ, Jesus. You see, we don't have any multiple gods. Read 1 Corinthians 8, chapter 5 and 6. 1 Corinthians 8, chapter 5 and 6. Munasitur, can you read?
First For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, that we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, that and we by him.
There are so many gods and lords in this world, no doubt at all. But for us, how many God is there? One God, Father of all. And one Lord Jesus Christ, you see, and who is our master. So both are separate, not both are one in the same day. So this one yesterday in detail about the Trinity class. You see, so our God has got four important characters. We are seeing this one, Revelation 4 chapter, pictured by the, you see, lion, face of a man, flying eagle, and a calf. That means power, love, wisdom, and justice. So God has these four characters which works all together. Okay, our God is not a Trinity God. Our God is not a triune God, three in one God, or one in three God. Our God will be one God. And Jesus is his son. Okay, now let us come to the eighth coin. You see, this is the eighth coin. That is the Jesus second advent. You see, so we have recently just now only studied the Jesus second advent. The whole world is believing that Jesus is going to come. When? If he come, you see, when we ask, you say, he will come very soon, very soon. But we are already saying that he's already come very soon. rather than the expectations of Jesus, of the church, Jesus is already present. You see, what does the Bible say? That Jesus will return from heaven with the shout of the archangel. That means with the trump of God, when the last seventh trumpet blow, Jesus' presence was there. We have seen this one in detail in second coming. How in Revelation, you see, the Bible speaks about seven trumpets, the seven churches. When the seventh trumpet was blown, the kingdoms of this world were transferred to Jesus Christ. Read Revelation 11:15. Anil brother, can you read Revelation 11:15, brother?
And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord's,
and the kingdom
of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.
Thank you. So here it says, the kingdoms of this world have become kingdoms of the Lord and his Christ. So the kingdom was transferred as soon as the seventh angel blew the trumpet. And he began to reign. So we are in that reign, dear brethren. You see, so Jesus spoke about the parable of, you see, and 10 virgins. What did he say? Behold, I stand at the heart's door and knock. Jesus is already at the door. Not that he is coming. He has come and is knocking at everybody's heart. If anybody opens their heart to Jesus, Jesus is going to come and give them strong spiritual food. So what strong spiritual food we are eating is actually given by our master. You see, in Matthew 25 chapter 10 verses parable we spoke now, we studied this one also. So what has happened when Jesus tarried? You see, when the bridegroom tarried, what happened? The whole virgin, they all slept. But what happened? In the midnight, there was a cry. Behold the bridegroom. Read Matthew 25, 6, brother. Sunita, sister, Matthew 25, 6, can you read? That's why you're there, my 25:6.
And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.
Behold the bridegroom. Midnight. Midnight means that is the period when the day changes. That is the time when 6,000 is ended and 1,000 is being fresh started. And regarding the date subsequent coming, we already studied it in the book of Daniel. Okay. Now, the ninth coin. This is a very, very important coin. The last coin. What is it? That is the 1,000 arena Christ. You see, there are so many churches in this world, but not many of the churches know about the 1,000 arena Christ. What is his purpose? What is Jesus going to come and do? But really, 1,000 years, everybody thinks that Jesus will come, second advent, he's going to judge the whole world. And for judging the whole world, he will take 1,000 years and send them to hell and heaven. No, dear brother. Jesus has no necessity to send the people to hell or heaven or punish them for the sins. If that was the case, why would he come and die on the cross? You see, so Jesus, when he's going to return, he's going to rule on this earth for 1,000 years. So the judgment period is not a literal period. It is for a period of 1,000 years. We studied about the 1,000 years. What will happen? When Jesus returns, he's going to rule for 1,000 years. All the dead will come back to life. You see, all the deaf ears shall be opened. All the blind eyes shall be opened. They will all see the understanding of the word of God. They will all listen to the truth as you are all listening today. The same truth, you know, the whole world will learn in 1,000 years. Dear, the only one difference is that if you learn now, we are going to get the heavenly salvation. But then if you learn, the people will get the earthly salvation. So in Christ's kingdom, what will be there? There will be a highway of holiness. There won't be any broad way. There won't be any narrow way. All the resurrected people will live happily in Christ's kingdom. This was the coin, dear brethren, that was lost. You see, and the Bible students were the one who found this coin. And as they found it, what did they tell? You see, first of all, they rejoiced. They called the friends. They told them to rejoice. Who are the friends? The Christian friends. So this is the good news, not only for us, but for our so many Christian friends. Imagine how many Christian friends do we have? Are we witnessing to them about the 1,000 years? Are we telling them about the lost coin and telling them to rejoice and be happy? Shortly, his visible kingdom shall be established on earth. Are we telling to our neighbors? Neighbors means what? Other religion, other people. You see, really, you know, if somebody dies in their family, you see, you can't comfort them. But just visit them after a few days and comfort them by telling them the truth. You see, it is not necessary that they should believe Jesus now. Tell them that God is giving them an opportunity. There's a time for them. You see, shortly, all the people will dead will come back to life. And God will give them the opportunity to understand God then. They will all live happily together. You know, just speak and see this truth. Is really a joyful truth for everybody. Different. That's what the woman did. She told, rejoice with me, for I have found the lost coin. So this is the main doctrine in the Bible, which all the coins are hung to or related. Okay? The last coin is second death. What is the second death? Brother, you are not heard about only one death. The second death is there. Yes, there are second death. There is a two death in the Bible. You see, what is second death? You know, second death means sinning willfully against God. You see, we are going to study this one in the coming days. You see, in very detail. You see, that who goes to second death? What are the qualifications for the second death? So, can the church go to second death? Or what will happen to the world? You see, the world will be given the truth. But if the people don't obey the truth in Christ's kingdom, they should be destroyed with everlasting destruction. That is the second death. So similarly now, after God giving us the truth, if you don't live as per the truth, you see, if you reject all these things as lies and go back to the world, you see, that is the time that these will go to second death. Read Hebrews 6, chapter 4 to 6. Gopal brother, can you read Hebrews 6, chapter 4 to 6?
For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tested the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame.
See, what does it say? One who were enlightened, the first thing, eyes of understanding is being opened after learning this truth, taste of the heavenly gift, forgiveness of sins, made partakers of the Holy Ghost, God has given the Holy Spirit, and tasted the good word of God. So many beautiful truths are there in the Bible. We have tasted all these things. And the powers of the world to come. Which is the world to come? Now we are living in the second world, the future world that is going to come, the third world, Jesus' kingdom. After doing all these things, if you leave all these things and go, what does it say? You see, they are actually crucifying themselves, Jesus Christ, afresh and putting him into open shame. Leave them, we should not be of that class. We should be of a class which brings glory and honor and praise to God. We all like Jesus, no? Isn't it? We all want to please him, no? Yes. But in the 1,000 years also, even after truth is given to some people really sin against God. Even after giving them truth, binding of Satan happens, there are possibilities that they may go to second death also. Therefore, dear brethren, this is the 10 silver coins. Very, very important. We have all the 10 important doctrines in our mind, in our heart. We have faith on those things. It is the same way, you see, as David spoke. You see, David had a string, you see, a harp. And it had how many strings? 10 strings. Read Psalms 144:9. Psalms 144:9. Munna sister, can you read Psalms 144:9?
I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a plastery and an instrument of 10 string will I sing praises unto thee.
Instrument of 10 strings, the Mazhar, 10 strings with the 10 important doctrines. We have seen the subject of Rebecca marrying Isaac. You see, Eliezer went to select Rebecca. How many camels did he take? 10 camels, 10 important doctrines in the Bible. Therefore, dear brethren, if we need to be the bride of Christ, if we want to be with our Lord and rule with him, these 10 important doctrines are very, very important. You see, the word of God is perfect. You see, to convert a soul. That is the important doctrines. Now tell me, which are 10 important doctrines? Which is the first coin? Who is going to tell? Which is the first coin? Everybody, are there?
Creation of God.
Very good. Creation of God. Second coin. Anil brother, tell me, which is the second coin?
Death.
Very good. Sunita sister, which is the third coin?
Ransom.
Very good. Fourth coin. Romish sister, which is the fourth coin?
Justification.
Very good. Fifth coin. Munna sister, which is the fifth coin?
Consecration.
Very good. Sixth coin. Gopal brother, which is the sixth coin?
Election, brother.
Very good. Seventh coin. Amar brother, which is the seventh coin? Okay, who can tell me which is the seventh coin?
Truth about God.
Yes, truth about God. Eighth coin? Which is the eighth coin? Who can tell?
Jesus' second advent.
Are what only Brother Joel is answering? What happened, Brother Anil, brother? Munna sister? Huh? Tell me, okay, which is the ninth point? We will not put it on the screen. Let me see who is going to tell the correct ninth coin, the last point. Which is the ninth coin?
1,000 year reign.
Very good, sir. 1,000 year reign of Christ, which is joy for everybody. Okay. The last tenth coin, which is the tenth coin?
Second eighth.
Very good, sir. So these are 10 important coins which we need to keep in our mind, you see, to be pleasing to our Lord. Okay, the Lord had his blessings to these words. So, we will meet next week, God willing. So, any doubts, any questions, anybody?